Okay. We're going to resume our Bhagavatam, the Guya prayers. Let's do this first. First, I just want to welcome everybody and say, Vanchakalpa Tribhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So this is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 4, Hamsa Guya Prayers, spoken by but not composed by Daksha. And today we're up to text 27 and 28, the same text share common purport. Okay? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Okay, now I'll just read the Sanskrit here of these texts. Manishinanta Vidisa Niveshitam Soshaktibir Navabhischatri Riddhibihi Vahim Yata Daruni Panchadasham Manishaya Nishkarshanti Gurdham Savai Mamashisha Vishishamaya Nishidda Nirvana Sukhanubhutihi Sasarvanama Satcha Vishwarupa Prasidatam Anirupatma Shaktihi. So the translation is like this. Just as great learned brahmanas who are expert in performing ritualistic ceremonies and sacrifices can extract the fire dormant within wooden fuel by chanting the 15 Samigini mantras, thus proving the efficacy of the Vedic mantras. So those who are actually advanced in consciousness, in other words, those who are Krishna conscious, can find the Supersoul, who, by his own spiritual potency, is situated within the heart. The heart is covered by the three modes of material nature and the nine material elements. Material nature, the total material energy, the ego, the mind, and the five objects of sense gratification, and also by the five material elements and the 10 senses. These 27 elements constitute the external energy of the Lord. Great yogis meditate upon the Lord, who is situated as the Supersoul Paramatma within the core of the heart. May that Supersoul be pleased with me. The Supersoul is realized. One is eager for liberation from the unlimited varieties of material life. One actually attains such liberation when he engages in the transcendental loving service of the Lord and realizes the Lord because of his attitude of service. The Lord may be addressed by various spiritual names which are inconceivable to the material senses. When will that Supreme Personality of Godhead be pleased with me? So now there is a long purport. Which I may break up a little bit and talk about as we go along. In his commentary to this verse, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur uses the word durvishneyam, which means very difficult to realize. You may remember, if I may comment, in the last purport, Prabhupada used the word sudhijneyam, or very easily understood, and the durijneyam, understood only with difficulty. So talking about how the Lord is understood only with difficulty, or difficult to realize. So here the same word, but with a little intensifier in there, durvishneyam, very difficult to realize. So Prabhupada continues, the pure stage of existence is described in Bhagavad Gita 7.28, wherein Krishna says, Yesam tvantikatam papam, Yesam tvantikatam papam, Jananam punyakarmanam, Te dvanda moha nirmukta bhajante mam kibda prataha. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, and who are freed from the duality of delusion, engage themselves in my service with determination. Elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita 9.14, the Lord says, Satatam kirtayantomam yantantascha vidra vrtaha namasyantascham bhaktya nitya yukta pasite. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. Let me point out that these two verses that Prabhupada quotes both have the word jitavataha in it. Bhajante mam jitavataha 7.28 and 9.14. Namasyam chascha mam bhakya, yatantascha jitavata. Both are being done with great determination or fixed vow. So Prabhupada continues, one can understand the personality of Godhead after transcending all material impediments. Therefore, Lord Krishna also says in the Gita 7.3, Manushanam sahasreshu kaschit yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kaschin mam viti tattvataha. Out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection, and of those who have achieved perfection, one hardly knows me in truth. To understand Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one must undergo severe penances and austerities. But since the path of devotional service is perfect, by following this process, one can very easily come to the spiritual platform and understand the Lord. This too is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 18.55, wherein Krishna says, Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavan yaschasmi tattataha tattumam tattatojnatva vishite tad anantaram. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he is only by devotional service, and when one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. Thus, although the subject matter is durvijñeyam, extremely difficult to understand, it becomes easy if one follows the prescribed method. Coming in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead is possible through pure devotional service, which begins with Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. So here, what you see so far, Prabhupada has been citing verses describing really the platform of pure devotional service. The first one talks about the qualifications or the prerequisites. Those who antagatam papam, their sinful reactions are eradicated. Punya karmanam, their activities in this life and previous life have been punya, pious. And dvanda moha niramukta, they are transcended or liberated from the duality of delusion of duality. The illusion of duality, those people worship me, Siddhavrata, with firm determination, fixed vows. And then the next verse he quotes talks about the characteristics of that fixed vow, what the Nitya Yukta, always linked with me, literally Yukta means joined, always joined with me because they're always chanting. always worshiping, always bowing down, with again Dhritavrataha. So this is the platform. Then Prabhupada says you can understand the personality of Godhead after transcending all material impediments. Maybe that's what makes it tough or rare, because of all material impediments. And then he quotes from Gita 7.3, Manushanam sahasresu kaschit yattati siddhaye. Out of many thousands of persons, one will be interested in achieving perfection. And of those who have achieved perfection, one may actually know me, tattataha, as I actually am. By perfection means here those who at least are interested in becoming free from entanglement with the modes of material nature. One out of a thousand. Probably fewer than that, actually. He says one out of many thousands. That's true. It's more like one out of 10,000, 20,000, 30,000, 100,000. Something like 100,000, probably. Lots. One may be actually interested in endeavor for transcendence. And of those who achieve transcendence, hardly one knows me. So it's, if achieving transcendence or Brahman realization is confidential, that's why Krishna consciousness is even more confidential. And then he quotes from the 1855 that you can understand. You can understand me, he says here, by bhakti. Bhaktya mam abhijanati. And again, the word tattaha. Sometimes you see Prabhupada quote a list of verses, you'll see the same word repeated. So, kaschin mam bhiti tattaha. And then that's in 7.3. Then the next verse, Bhaktya mam, also has the phrase tattaha twice in it. So thus the rarity and difficulty of pure devotional service. This is what's being described here in this way. So next, we'll continue with the purport. Just one second. Thus, although the subject matter is durvijñeyam, extremely difficult to understand, it becomes easy if one follows the prescribed method. Oh yeah, I want to go back again. Here's an interesting sentence Prabhupada has said in the previous verse. Notice this kind of thing. When you're reading, Prabhupada should be alert for this kind of stuff. To understand Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one must undergo severe penances and austerities. Right? But since the path of devotional service is perfect, by following this process, one can very easily come to the spiritual platform and understand the Lord. So notice the sense. It's part of the perfection of the path of pure devotional service is that it is the consequence of its being perfect is that it's also easy. It's a really interesting idea. Other processes which lead to pure devotional service, because they are mixed with other things, they're karma mishra bhakti, jnana mishra bhakti, yoga mishra bhakti, so there's some imperfection. And it's the actual imperfection that makes them difficult. But if somehow or other one can come onto the path of pure devotional service, which is perfect, then it becomes easy. Because this is one of the characteristics of the perfection of it, is that it is without strain, without suffering, severe penances and austerity. We may think that what we do in Krishna consciousness is severe penances and austerity, but the average karmi suffers more just going to work every day than we do, believe me. So this is the anyway, interesting sense. Since the path of pure devotional service is perfect, by following this process, one can very easily come to the spiritual platform and understand the Lord. Prabhupada has this phrase that he often uses describing pure devotional service as easy and sublime. Sublime means the highest. And usually, see, these two things don't go together. If something is easy, it's cheap. And if it's sublime, it's hard to get to. But the nature of Krishna consciousness is that it has both of these characteristics. But I've always said that Prabhupada says it's easy, but telling Americans something is easy is probably has its risk. Because there's a tendency to make everything cheap. Okay, so now we'll go back and continue on with the purport. Thus, although the subject matter is durvijñeyam, extremely difficult to understand, it becomes easy if one follows the prescribed method. Coming in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead is possible through pure devotional service, which begins with Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnavam. In this regard, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur quotes a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 2.8.5. Pravishta karma dvandrena swanam bhava sororuham. The process of hearing and chanting enters the core of the heart, and in this way one becomes a pure devotee. Here's this verse from 2.8.5 that's quoted. Pravishta karma randrena swanam bhava sororuham. Dunoti shamalam krishnaha shalilasya yata sharat. Prabhupada translates it here. The sound incarnation of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Soul, that is Srimad Bhagavatam is being talked about here. The sound incarnation of the Lord, the Supreme Soul, that is Srimad Bhagavatam, enters into the heart of a pure devotee. Karna Rundrena, through the holes of the ears. Pravishta Karma Rundra enters through the holes of the ears and comes into the heart. Sararuham, the lotus flower of the heart, sits on the lotus, enters in the heart of a self-realized devotee, sits on the lotus flower of his loving relationship, Bhava Sararuham, the lotus flower of Bhava, his own Bhava, Swanam Bhava, Sararuham, and then Dunoti cleanses Shamalam. Shamalam means material qualities like lust, greed, anger, and so on. Thus cleanses the dust of material associations such as lust, anger, and hankering. And then, shalilasya yata asharat. Thus it acts like autumnal rains upon pools of muddy water, like the sharat. The autumn season, the autumnal rains. Prabhupada explains that when the autumnal rains come, the waters are all churned up with mud because this is after the rainy season. So all the waters are muddy. And then when the rain comes, it makes all the suspended dirt in the water sink to the bottom. And that's the example. So this is how it works. Easy enough. Huh? The previous verse had said in the second canto, persons who hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and are always taking the matter very seriously will have the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna manifested in their hearts in a very short time. Kalena natti dirgena, not after a long time. If you take the matter seriously, here in Shraddha, in earnestness, in Nityam, regularly, then you manifest in the heart. And how is this? Because this sound vibration enters through the ears, sits on the in the heart and on the lotus flower of one's feelings of affection for Krishna. There it cleanses away all the accumulated dust and garbage and everything. And then one becomes pure, like water, and the autumnal rains. So this is easy. Why? Because actually Krishna does it. One has to do. Our thing is not really to do anything except remove impediments. It's not that we do anything but get out of Krishna's way. So anyway, I'll continue with the purport. The process of hearing and chanting enters the core of the heart, and in this way one becomes a pure devotee. By continuing this process, one comes to the stage of transcendental love, and then he appreciates the transcendental name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We've been chanting and hearing about those things, but as one comes to the stage of transcendental love, the appreciation for them deepens. We understand what it is we've actually been saying and hearing. Prabhupada continues, in other words, a pure devotee by devotional service is able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead despite many material impediments, which are all various energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So let's go back now and look at this verse. The verse is a little complicated because it makes a comparison between a devotee or a bhakti vedanta and a performer of sacrifices. In sacrifice, there is wood. And these learned brahmanas are able, by mantra, these samidhini mantras, to ignite wood. And the wood is compared to the material energy. But within the wood, there is fire. And that fire is hidden within the wood. It's guddam, as it says in this verse. It's not manifest, but they can bring out the fire by mantras. And that fire then burns up the wood. So this is what's happening in the process of devotional service. The Lord is in the heart like fire is within wood. And when by our process of mantra, hearing and chanting the glory of Krishna, we say those mantras, then that fire comes out and burns up the wood. The wood meaning now here, all, as Prabhupada says in the verse, all material impediments. Because here it's this wood has been described as being made up of the Lord's energy. It's the three modes of material nature. Mm-hmm. of the three modes of material nature, the nine material elements, which is glossed here as material nature, the total material energy. I assume what that means is one is pradana and the other is mahatattva. And then the ego, the mind, manas, ahankara, the five objects of sense gratification. That means the objects of hearing, tasting, touching, smelling, and seeing. And also by the five material elements, earth, water, fire, water, ether, and the ten senses, the five active karmendriya and the knowledge acquiring senses. So this is the wood, this whole thing. But within the body, which is composed of these elements, there is the super soul, who's situated within the heart. So he says here, a pure devotee, in other words, a pure devotee, by devotional service, is able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead despite many material impediments, which are all various energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Easily making his way through these impediments, a devotee comes directly in contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After all, the material impediments described in these verses are but various energies of the Lord. In other words, they're not really ultimately impediments. This gets explained a little later on. Then Prabhupada says, when a devotee is eager to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he prays to the Lord. O son of Maharaj Nanda Krishna, I am your eternal servitor. But somehow or other, I've fallen into the ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. Then Prabhupada says, being pleased with the devotee, the Lord turns all his material impediments into spiritual service, just as the wood turns into fire. So our material impediments now become the material energy which formerly acted to block the vision of the Lord, now act to reveal the Lord. So this is, one has to be eager to see the Lord. So that eagerness is expressed here by this fifth Shastika prayer, Ayi Nanda. This Ayi is a O, but it's, the significance of this particular exclamation is one of tender affection, according to the dictionary. And then Krishna is addressed by this really very personal name, Nanda Tanuja, son of Nanda. The word for son here is Tanuja, which means born of the body of Nanda. Nanda Tanuja, Kinkaram Potitamam, I am your fallen servant. Where? Vishame Bhavambudo, in this rough ocean of material existence. It's described here as Vishama, not smooth, rough, tough. So this is my position. I am your servant, but now I'm here in this rough ocean. Kripaya, by your mercy. Kripaya Tava. Pada Pankajasti to do Sadhusham Chintaya. Please consider me to be among the particles of dust or pollen that are clinging to your lotus feet. So this is really a prayer to be placed into Krishna's intimate service. According to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this particular prayer represents the stage of asakti or addiction, to Krishna. And really in this stage of asakti, which is not yet the perfectional stage, that's the next thing, bhava, but asakti, really here at asakti, there's the beginning of one's realization of his constitutional position, his bhava. The affection for Krishna here is toward a particular form of Krishna, which one becomes obsessed. So this is actually the real beginning of love of God, asakti. So at this stage, Prabhupada says, being pleased with the devotee, the Lord turns all his material impediments into spiritual service. Nice sentence, huh? Prabhupada continues, in this connection, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur quotes a verse from the Vishnu Purana. Ladini Sandini Samvit Tvayi Eka Sarva Samstitao Lada Tapa Kari Mishra Tvayi No Guna Varjite. You'll find this verse in a couple of places quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita also. I'll go back, because Prabhupada doesn't translate the whole thing. This verse says, O Lord, you are the support of everything. Tvayi eka sarva samstitao. You are the basis of everything. And in you, the three attributes, ladini, sandini, and samvit, exist in you as one spiritual energy. Eka, so these are the three internal potencies, ladini shakti, sandini shakti, and samvit, bliss, existence, and knowledge potency of the Lord. But the material modes, which cause happiness, misery, and mixtures of the two, do not exist in you, for you have no material qualities. Lada, tapa, kari, mishra, tai, no, guna, varjita. The Lord has said, you are guna, varjita, means free of the modes. And this, for the living entities who are under the modes, they cause lada. Lada means pleasure. Tapa, misery. Kari, causing. And mishra, the mixture of the two. O Lord, you are the support of everything. The three attributes, ladini, sadini, and samvit, exist in you as one spiritual energy. But the material modes, which cause happiness, misery, and the mixtures of the two, do not exist in you, for you have no material qualities. This is from Adi 4.63. The same verse, with one small difference, is repeated in Manjalila 6.158, where instead it says samstitao, it says sarva samshraya instead of sarva samstitao. You are the shelter of everything rather than the basis of everything. Otherwise, it's the same verse. The Supreme Person, here it's translated, the Supreme Personality of God is Satchitananda Vigraha. This means he originally has three potencies, the pleasure potency, that's the Ananda, the potency of eternality, that's the Sat, and the potency of knowledge as the chit. So Satchitananda, these are these three energies. Together, these are called chit potencies. So when the spiritual potency is referred to, although it's Satchitananda, there's these three energies. Conventionally, when they're all together described as, the spiritual potency is described as a unity, it's often called the chit potency. But in that usage, chit refers to Satchitananda. Together, these are called the chit potency, and they are present in fullness of Supreme Lord. For the living entities who are part and parcel of the Lord, the pleasure potency in the material world is sometimes displeasing and sometimes mixed. This is not the case with the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he is not under the influence of material energy or its mode. So there's some slightly different ways of translating this verse, this Lada Tapakari Mishra. So see, here's what Prabhupada does in this purport. After quoting this verse, which is originally found in the Vishnu Purana, Prabhupada says, in the material world, the spiritual energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is manifested as tapakari, which means causing misery. Everyone hankers for happiness. You're looking for lada. But although happiness originally comes from the pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the material world, because of material activities, the pleasure potency of the Lord becomes a source of misery, lada tapakari. He just takes this out and says it's this lada which causes, lada tapakari means pleasure causes misery. That's true about the material world. I'm fond of quoting that. Yehi samsparsaja boga dukayonayavate. All material happiness or pleasure ultimately is the source of all suffering. So, lada tapakari. So the pleasure potency of the Supreme Lord, when it's manifested in the material nature, becomes a source of misery. So Prabhupada says here, false happiness in the material world is the source of distress. But when one's endeavors for happiness, so the endeavor for happiness is still there, when one's endeavors for happiness are redirected toward the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this tapakari element, misery, misery causing, this tapakari element of misery is vanquished. Then it's just lada, and it's pleasure that doesn't cause misery. So now we come back to our verse. An example given in this connection is that extracting fire from wood is certainly difficult. But when the fire comes out, it burns the wood to ashes. In other words, experiencing the Supreme Personality of Godhead is extremely difficult for those devoid of devotional service, but everything becomes easier for a devotee, and thus he can very easily meet the Supreme Lord. So finally, Prabhupada concludes, hear the prayers say that the form of the Lord is beyond the jurisdiction of material form and is therefore inconceivable. A devotee prays, however, my dear Lord, be pleased with me so that I may very easily see your transcendental form and potency. Non-devotees try to understand the Supreme Brahman by discussions of neti neti. Nisheda Nirvana Sukhanubhuti. A devotee, however, simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord avoids such laborious speculations and realizes the existence of the Lord very easily. But he's referring to this place in the text where Savai Mama Shisha Vishesha Maya Nisheda Nirvana. Here's that nice Buddhist word. Of course, before the Buddhist had it, it was here. Nirvana Sukhanubhuti. This indicates, this little phrase indicates that by the Lord is realized, sukha anubhuti. Anubhuti means the experience of bliss. Sukha is happiness, and anubhuti is direct experience of bliss. Nirvana, the process of nirvana. Then the word nisheda means negation. You know, the word, we have a verse which says, vidhi and nisheda. Vidhi means the things you should do, and nisheda the things you shouldn't do. So nisheda means negation. So, ashesha vishesha maya nisheda nirvana. This is the negation process, the process of negating all the varieties of maya, and thus achieving nirvana, liberation, and then directly perceiving bliss. So this is a reference to this kind of process of negation. This is the difficult one, the process called neti-neti, not iti, not iti, not this, not this, not this, not this, not this. You look at the material world and you say, the Lord is not this, it's not this, not this, not this. And this way, by the process of elimination of the mundane, one tries to realize transcendence. So there's a reference to this kind of process. But then the Lord here, who is realizing this way, Sahi Sarvanama. This is a name of Krishna. You can say Sarvanama, he who is all names. Prabhupada says in the word for who is the source of all things, Sarvanama. Or who has many, many transcendental names, Sarvanama. And also Vishwarupa, the form of the universe. May he be merciful to me. Anirupta, who is inconceivable, and is Atma Shakti, the source of all spiritual potencies. So, to summarize this verse here, the process of transcendental realization is compared to the intelligent Brahmins who by their prowess are able to, by mantra, extract, make fire come out of wood. So they apparently could do this by starting a fire sacrifice. They would say these certain mantras, and the wood would ignite. I've seen some people performing yajna who look like they're doing that, but they're throwing some chemicals, some powder onto the fire. I think they've got it. They've already got something in there, and they throw something on top of it in there. It sets up a, what kind of reaction is that called? Not a geothermic, a reaction that releases heat and the fire starts. Anyway, they don't, I don't think they do it anymore, but they used to be able to do that. And therefore then the fire would burn the wood to ashes. So this is compared here ultimately what's getting to the process of devotional service. By which a super soul is realized, and the material impediments, which are like wood, then serve as the spiritual asset in transcendental realization. Again, Prabhupada says, being pleased with the devotee, the Lord turns all his material impediments into spiritual service. And then in explaining this, he explains how this spiritual energy of the Lord, manifests here, Lada Tapakari, is causing misery. There, the search for happiness, when it's directed exclusively toward satisfying the Lord, and becomes the source of all bliss. One does not have to get rid of the desire for happiness. That cannot be done. Or one does not have to, as Buddhist texts sometimes say, extirpate desires. But the desires actually become purified and then the same the desire for happiness, which was the cause of suffering, now becomes the cause of liberation and unmitigated or unalloyed happiness. Okay, any questions, comments? Out there in telephone land? I have two people in our live studio audience here. Priyadarshan and Karen.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
Gurudev, please accept my humble obeisances. This is Yugo Larasa.
Yes, my blessings, Yugo Larasa.
I just have one question. When listening to your lectures, you very often you mention that it's actually very, very difficult to achieve Krishna consciousness. And sometimes even you mentioning that it's easier like to learn Hebrew, Sumerian, and Greek, you know, in one lecture you're mentioning. I just wanted to understand that difficult and easy part.
Krishna consciousness is, first of all, compared to any other bona fide spiritual process, it's easy. Therefore, whether you see a spiritual process that looks easier, you can be sure that it's cheating. But if you actually look at the real rules for yoga, or the real process of Ashtanga yoga, or the real process of Jnana yoga, these are really, really, these people are like Olympic athletes or something. And if you're not an Olympic athlete, you can forget it. Bhakti is maybe for people who have become so addicted and so conditioned by the modes of passion and ignorance, looks very difficult. But the difficulty is really only apparent. The difficulty seems to be reside only in making up your mind to do it, because it requires some determination, some dhrita vritta. It requires some making. Setting your priorities correctly. If one simply does that, then there's no other impediments. If you want to practice Ashtanga yoga, you can make up your mind that's what you want to do. But if you don't have a certain amount of talent, you can't do it. If you want to practice Jnana Yoga, if you can't learn Sanskrit, you can't do it. You can't understand Vedanta Sutra, you just don't have enough brains of an academic sort. You can't do it. I mean, these things all require different kinds of talents and abilities. Bhakti, whatever we may be lacking, Krishna will supply. So the only thing that left for us to do is to make up our mind, and these people have a hard time, I have to say, making up their minds. But if we just get past that part, then it becomes very quick. It goes quickly. Okay.
Wow! Thank you so much.
So we should make up our minds. Huh? We're only here in this material world for a very short time. Anything else we do for a lot of trouble is all wiped away, so we might as well use it for something worthwhile.
Yeah.
Give up a few cheap thrills, which don't satisfy you anyway.
Right.
The material world reminds me when we used to go to county fairs. They'd have this stuff called cotton candy. And it looks so great, you know, and you really want it so badly. It's spun sugar, it's pink. Usually it's pink. and you eat it, you just get sick, you know. It's all sticky in your mouth, tastes bad afterwards, and you kind of overdosed, and it wasn't really all that good. Anything else? Okay, we all finished?
Gurudev?
Yeah.
This is Pitayani. I have a question.
Yeah, Jenny, go ahead.
It's not really related to the class, but it's...
That's okay. We got 5 minutes.
Okay. It's about blessings. I went last week to New Vrindavan, and the whole theme to the program was blessings. And Sachin Nandana Swami gave a seminar on blessings. And I met a new devotee friend there, and she's pretty much what we would call a newbie. She's only been around for a few months, and I talked to her on the phone yesterday. And because I've been around for a long time, she is asking me for blessings. Well, everybody on this conference probably knows the level of advancement that I'm at, which is pretty low. And I feel uncomfortable, you know. She'll say, give me your blessings. And I say, no, you must give me your blessings. And then we go through that. No, I'm not worthy. Please give me your blessings. And so what I was wondering is it possible? I know when you write to me or when you speak to me, the first thing you say is, hey, please accept my blessings. And I was just wondering if it's possible for devotees on our level. I don't really even consider myself so much a devotee. I'm aspiring to be a devotee. Is it possible to give blessings to other devotees, or is that something that we receive only from guru or higher up, you know, more advanced souls? Or I'm not saying that I'm more advanced than her, or but I mean, we went through this whole Vaishnava thing. No, I'm not worth it. You give me your blessings, and we spent 10 minutes long distance going through that.
Can somebody who is maybe not so advanced or doesn't think themselves so advanced give blessings? And the where do blessings come from? Ultimately, the giver of blessings is Krishna. And so really, the whole process of blessings is just to have the blessings of Krishna flow down. There's a hierarchy, you know, Krishna and the pure devotees. And so the blessings, they flow down. So if I say, please accept my blessings, or Prabhupada says, please accept my blessings, they're not really my blessings or even Prabhupada's blessings. They're coming from Krishna. He's complaining. So we should not forget that. So if somebody says, please give me your blessing, you say, well, you know, I may not feel like I can give any blessings, but I will certainly pray to Krishna that he give you his blessings, or something like that. You know? Because it's better to give people blessings. When somebody says to you, when you go to the pharmacy and you pick up some medicine or healthcare products or whatever, and they always say, "Have a nice day," right? That's a blessing.
Right.
May you have a nice day. And then when you go out the door and you open the door and it slams somebody else in the face and they say, go to hell. That's a curse, right?
Right.
So people are always blessing and cursing each other anyway. So it's better you bless everybody than cursing no one. I mean, for these people in the material world, their blessings and curses have no potency. You don't go to hell, and you probably won't have a nice day behind the counters benediction that way. But it's just better to wish people well. So the idea of giving people blessings in the sense of wishing them well, I think is very important. And when there's actually when one's an advanced Vaishnava, even if they curse, it's a benediction. because of Narada Muni cursed. The Bodhi curses is always a benediction, like Narada Muni cursed the sons of Kuvera to become trees, but there was a benediction, and then Krishna would rescue them and they would see the Lord. And even the curses of devotees are blessings. But we should just wish people well. So generally, this is very good. So once you think that if I feel myself unworthy, which is actually we should all feel ourselves unworthy, we should understand that we are simply conveying the blessings. May Srila Prabhupada bless you, may Krishna bless you, may Radharani bless you, or whoever.
So I could say, I will pray that my Gurudev blesses you. Would that be appropriate? Okay, thank you very much.
The blessings are borrowed from Krishna, really. It's just flowing down from him, and we just pass them on. Okay?
Okay, it's perfect. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. All right?
Yes.
Right now we're not scheduled to have a class next Sunday because I think I'm supposed to be in New Vrindavan. I haven't received I haven't heard anything about that further. I'll confirm that. If not, we'll get the word out to you. Otherwise, I'll hear from everybody again after Sunday after next. Okay? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Gurudev.
Ki jai.
All Gurudev, ki jai.
Jai. Thank you. Jai.